Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
What's going on, everybody? This is BGN Radio, episode one, number 199. Who cares? With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton of BleedingGreenNation.com. I'm James Bradley Kemsky of PhillyVoice.com. Training camp practice number six is now in the books. It was the first Philadelphia Eagles padded practice of the offseason. A lot to unpack from today's practice. I think there was a lot of action, a lot of fun stuff happened today. And nice day once again. It's been beautiful weather for us and the players all throughout training camp so far. Brandon, how are you doing, my friend?
Jimmy, I'm doing well, but I realize that I never ask you how you're doing. So I need to ask you, Jimmy, how are you doing?
I've been waiting, and
it doesn't matter how you're doing. Little shout out to The Rock there. Needed to throw that in there. So I got you really good.
Okay. Should we get to Righteous Felon or before the break?
We can mention Righteous Felon Craft Jerky sponsors BGN Radio, and you should go get yourself some Righteous Felon Craft Jerky by going to righteousfelon.com and using discount code BGN, as in Bleeding Green Nation, BGN15 for 15% off. And you already know that you can use the same discount code at wildnaturepet.com for 15% off the best dog treats you can get. And also, real quickly, Jimmy, I will mention we have a review here and rating, 5 stars, from Cork a Dork on Apple Podcasts. Leave your ratings and reviews there, and we'll listen, or not only we'll listen to them, we will read them and address them on the show. Title, Need More Butters. Big fan of Jimmy's cat, Butters.
Okay.
Love the show. Love following on Twitter. And go Birds. So, also saying, P.S., using my review to tell people to get vaccinated. So, there you go.
I will make sure that Butters is... He's not... I locked him out of this episode. So, my apologies. And, Brandon, my apologies to you, by the way, too. I went to ShopRite just before we recorded this, and I'm starving, and I was shoveling grasshoppers into my face. Grasshoppers are basically like, from Keebler, they're basically the same thing as, Thin Mints. I don't want to get into your trash takes on Girl Scout cookies again, but, yeah. So my apologies if I have grasshoppers in my teeth, right now. Anyway, let's just dive right in. What is your biggest takeaway from training camp practice today?
Well, before we even get into that, Jimmy, I feel like we have to get to some of the non-training camp stuff, which is one, because I want to tease the good part for people. Like, you got to stay, you got to stick around for the big part. So, quick thing, just want to note that Quentin Nelson apparently suffered an injury, the Colts starting guard, that is similar on a timetable to Carson Wentz. So, more Colts bad news, which maybe that's good news for the Eagles in the sense that you're just resigned to it being a high second round pick. But then you had something interesting that I feel like you should share, Jimmy, that
I will in a second. Okay. Quentin Nelson, by the way, is their left guard, right?
I think so.
Not the right guard. So on that side of the line, you have him, and then their left tackle is, if I'm not mistaken, Eric Fisher, who is still recovering from, what is it, an Achilles tear?
And got cut by the Chiefs, yeah.
Like late in the Chiefs season last year. So I haven't looked at like whether he's practicing or not, but I imagine he's not. So like their left side of the line is totally decimated along with their quarterback, along with a whole host of other issues. Frank Reich is back at least, for them. But yeah, a high second round pick, from the Colts looks probably like the most likely scenario for the Eagles going forward. Now in other Eagles speculation, just one quick note. I threw this at the back of like my written notes. Don't want this to get really like, you know, sort of aggregated all over the place, but
wow.
but I found it mildly interesting that, after practice was over, there was a meeting between basically the Eagles brass. So it was Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni, Andy Weidel, and a small handful of other Eagles employees. And it was off on like the far practice field. And it was nowhere near any other human being. Like they were far away from, you know, any other person. And they huddled and were discussing whatever they were discussing. I don't know if, as I mentioned in my notes, they were just sort of taking a tally of their favorite Rita's water ice flavors that are offered at camp, or if they were just discussing something team, trade, whatever related. But I do think the timing of that meeting was at least, you know, semi-interesting, given that they just cleared $17 million in cap space this year by restructuring the contracts of Lane Johnson and Derek Barnett. Plus you have over in Houston, you have Deshaun Watson, who has at least been attending practices, not necessarily a full participant, wasn't even at practice today. So you put those three things together and you can start kind of, you know, coming up with whatever scenarios you want to sort of come up with in your head. I know a lot of people do not want the Eagles to trade for Deshaun Watson, and for good reason, in my opinion. Like I think that you know, people are sort of turned off by his legal issues. Obviously, he's a top five kind of quarterback, but you know, Houston kind of has to do something with him, one way or the other. And as we've kind of, as you have sort of compiled over the last, I don't know what, like eight, 9 months,
really.
Yeah. Like it's been a long time that, and there's been just report after report after report piling up that the Eagles would have interest in Deshaun Watson should he become available. And obviously he is very available. The Texans have pretty much even said so. So, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if, you know, any kind of deal can be done with that guy, before you have sort of concrete knowledge of how his legal situation is going to play out. And if you have, and you know, how much do they actually know about these allegations that are very serious, very skeevy that have been made, you know, and, you know, I'm sure they're, you know, Big Dom has been all over that and trying to get as much information as he can. But, you know, certainly, there were a lot of people at camp today, I'll say, that were kind of like, it's going to happen sometime soon. Maybe. I don't know. I guess we'll just kind of have to wait and see.
Interesting. Big Dom, by the way, for the people who don't know, assuming just, you know, the listeners don't know everything, basically the Eagles security guy, you know, yeah. So the guy's always standing next to you, yeah, the head coach. So, and who does backgrounds on players and everything. So, yeah, we'll see about that one, Jimmy. The cited reasoning for Deshaun Watson missing practice was because he had some kind of ankle or foot issue or something. So
I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah, we'll see about
from doing nothing. He has got a bad ankle from standing around and doing nothing.
Done much. So we'll all see. We'll see on that one. For now, my biggest observation, what actually did happen at Eagles training camp that we know of, is Zach McPherson had a great day, Jimmy. And I just want to say from the beginning, I feel like we should call this guy Z McP, because I think that's a good nickname.
Okay.
And I came up with it. And therefore, it is a great nickname. No, I just think it's a fun thing to say. It's also especially useful to write out, because like McPherson is longer. So just to, you know, to be able to tweet it or whatever. But anyway, none of that matters. The thing that does matter is Zach McPherson had a really good practice today. The Eagles, fourth round pick this year, had four pass breakups. Jimmy, count them, four pass breakups. Now, how those, you know, could have been interceptions. So not perfect, but between four pass breakups and a big pop on Jason Huntley, mm-hmm, on a running play that got the Eagles defensive backs excited. Some ICU 27, you know, shout outs there. So, really good, really good practice from a rookie cornerback. It's encouraging to see. I don't think he's unseating Darius Slay or Steve Nelson or even Avante Maddox in the slot. He also has the versatility to play there, but has kind of been lining more so on the outside. I don't think he'll be unseating the starters anytime soon, but it's encouraging. And he obviously had a pick yesterday, and you're kind of seeing the signs of a player who might be able to be like a long-term piece, mm-hmm, or at least a good backup this year. Or both. So that was encouraging to me.
He knows what he's doing. Like, you know how, like, we talked earlier this offseason about, you know, Devontae Smith and how he's coming into this team. Like, he knows what he's doing as a receiver. He knows how to run routes. He knows how to catch the ball. Like, he's a seasoned sort of prospect. And I think you can probably say some similar things about McPherson in that regard. And I'll say right off the bat that he is already the most physical of the Eagles corners on the team right now as a rookie, like right now already one of the, like the most physical corner on the team. Like there was one rep. I can't remember if we mentioned this on the, if I mentioned this on the pod or not, but there was one rep. It was either day five or day four. He was going up against Hakeem Butler, who the team had actually, is Hakeem Butler back at wide receiver?
I think so, in part because the Eagles are so thin there. You know, they've had some injuries, that makes sense. They kind of, yeah, put him back.
So there. He was drafted as a wide receiver. The Eagles were converting him to tight end. Anyway, he was out on the outside, and he just couldn't get off the line of scrimmage against McPherson. Like, he couldn't go anywhere. McPherson just had him completely locked up, I would never be able to, know what his route was on that play, that he got jammed. So he got jammed into oblivion by McPherson. And, I think, like you mentioned, the hit on Huntley, and he's just been very physical with corners in his press coverage, and even like down the field, he's been physical at the catch point, and I really like what I've seen from him early on here in camp. But he's been the best rookie performer so far, I think.
Agree. And obviously Devontae Smith, you know, has been cut short a little bit here because he hasn't been practicing. Although he was out at practice today, doing some work on the jugs machine before practice. And then he wasn't actually like participating in warmups with his teammates, but he kind of was like stretching out a little bit with them. And I didn't see him like limping at all. So those all seem like positive signs, as far as Devontae goes. It's not like he's inside the building and we're not seeing him at all. and maybe the injury is like way worse than, it seems. But, so that's positive. What is, I guess, your next biggest thing? Because we kind of started with Watson and then went to me.
Yeah, you know, I think we can just talk about Jordan Mailata and Andre Dillard like one last time, because like I'm kind of over it. Like, but today it's worth mentioning, you know, how bad Dillard was again today. Like, before they did one on ones, O line versus D line, they did 11-on-11 session, and during that session, like one of the first reps of the day, when he was with the second team and Mailata was with the first team, during the second team, Dillard was going up against Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat just basically bull rushed him, and Dillard got thrown back into Joe Flacco. He hit Flacco as Flacco was throwing, totally affected the throw. If Flacco had held onto it longer, like, Dillard would have sacked Flacco on his own. So there was that play. And then later, I believe it was Sweat again. I didn't see this rep, but I saw him. I didn't see exactly what happened, but I saw him get knocked on his ass, frankly. And he, like, to me, like the analogy that I used, he looked like a turtle, like on his back, like just kind of like flopping around or whatever. What did you see what happened on that play? I think you had a better view of that one.
I saw the one where Josh Sweat just flattened Andre Dillard into the ground. Like, not unlike Joe Osman just destroyed Andre Dillard last year. We've talked about that play like a ton. It's just, you can't see that from your starting left tackle. Like, that literally never happens to Jordan Mailata, like ever. Or I think most NFL left tackles just getting like totally obliterated and just destroyed. Like, I can never recall that happening to Jason Peters, who obviously was a great player, but I'm just offensive linemen in general, other than like, you know, maybe some rookies or, you know, camp bodies. Like, it's a fatal flaw. You can't, it's just incredible to me how this is happening, continues to happen. It's very obvious, you know, that the bull rush has been a weakness for him going back to his rookie year, and it just hasn't gotten any better. And I guess maybe there's just nothing that can be done, or at least that's what we're seeing, or there hasn't been any progress. So yeah, I think the idea, again, we've already talked about this, Jimmy, the idea that this is like a competition still is just like, I'm not even going to call it a competition or
it's
a battle
over.
Anyway.
It's just over.
Not.
It's over.
Like, there's 0% chance, you know, Andre Dillard is like winning this job. Like, Jordan Mailata is the starting left tackle.
And by the way, like, our focus has sort of been on Dillard's struggles, but at the same token, like, Mailata has been really good this camp. So it's not just like Mailata's winning this sort of as a default. He is,
although he could, but
I mean, like, if he's just been sort of average, like, we'd probably still be saying like it's kind of over, but he has really been very good. Like, in 11-on-11s today, he pancaked Brandon Graham. He handled pass rushes by Graham, Sweat, Derek Barnett. And I thought he had a really good day, and I think he's had a really good camp. So it's not just that he's winning this competition because Dillard has faltered. He has earned it in his own right. So again, like, I didn't even bother watching O-line, D-line one-on-ones today once I saw that 11-on-11. So I was just like, this is over. Like, this is stupid to continue to even talk about this anymore. So, like, I don't really care about that camp battle anymore because in my mind, it is already set and done after just – I mean, I thought it was kind of over, like, already. But yeah. After today, like, there's just no way that anyone in the front office or the coaching staff can give, like – any kind of thought to Dillard being the starting left tackle. And by the way, like, I think we've mentioned this on the podcast, but he's left tackle or bust because we already know what it looks like when he plays right tackle. He can't anchor, so he can't play guard. And if you're a center, you need to have certain leadership qualities that I don't think that he has. And I don't think he's ever played guard or center anyway. So it's a, you know, it'd be a complete relearning process for him. So if they can trade him for anything, they should do it. And if there could be some team that maybe liked him, Dillard coming out of Washington State, and for good reason, because he's got the good footwork and he looked really good as a left tackle in college. Like, a lot of people thought he would potentially be like a top 10 pick. He slid. The Eagles took him. He slid for good reason, evidently. But maybe there was some team out there that liked what they saw of him as a prospect back in the day, and they'll take a chance on him. But I just don't see really any future with him with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Maybe like Houston, who the Eagles traded up ahead of. No, obviously. I don't know their situation. They got Titus Howard instead, and that's clearly, I think, worked out better for them than it would have they actually got Dillard. I agree with you on Dillard. A couple quick things. I saw Mailata Flatten, a linebacker, in addition to Pancake.
Randy Graham got to
the second level. Yeah, and just flattened someone. I forget who it was. It might have been Eric Wilson. But that was, you know, good to see. I just don't think Dillard could be on this roster, Jimmy. And I've been saying this, like, going back to the offseason, but, I just don't think he's one of the best 53 players on the team.
Right.
Like, I just don't. Like, agreed. He's been really bad. Like, I'm not seeing how he deserves to even make the team. And
they're very deep along the offensive line specifically, too. So if you keep him, you're cutting some player who's probably going to give you more value.
And I just, like, what more are we going to see out of Andre Dillard at some point? Like, is he, you still have faith he's going to develop into a starter or even, like, a valuable backup left tackle? Like, I'm not seeing it. This is a player who turns 26 in October. Like, this isn't, like, super young. He's still, like, growing into his body. He is what he is at this point to me. I just don't see how he's getting much better. I would take pretty much virtually anything you can get in return for him. Jimmy, Andre Dillard has the 10th biggest cap hit on that cap number on the Eagles roster this year. I think I mentioned this yesterday, but like, that's crazy to me. You're keeping this guy who isn't even good enough to be on the 53, and you're keeping him at that high of a number when you could clear 1.6 by moving him. Like, they have to move him. They just have to do it.
So I think this will be probably the last we speak about this training camp battle.
I guess so.
The only way that I think we can talk about it going forward is if Mailata is just horrible one day and Dillard is really good. But barring that, I don't think we need to beat this dead horse anymore.
Well, I want to get to another first-round pick here, Jimmy, but I'll tease that, and we'll get to it after the break. Before we get to the break, righteousfelon.com, discount code BGN15 for 15% off Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. And then, Jimmy?
Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors. Kristen actually just left to go to a closing, so she's banging out deals left and right. If you're looking to buy or sell your house or both, call Kristen 856-906-9295. Brandon?
Back after this.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Back here on BGN Radio episode 199. Who cares? Although we're one episode away from 200, so that's pretty exciting. Big monumentous occasion, the Eagles' 7th day of training camp. That'll be tomorrow. But today, Jimmy, going from an Eagles disappointing first round pick in 2019, let's pivot to an Eagles disappointing first round pick in 2020. Mr. Jalen Reagor, I was watching him a little bit more closely today, intentionally in practice, and I'm not seeing it, Jimmy. I'm not seeing a player who looks night and day different from year one to year two. And again, all the caveats, it's early. He is obviously dealing with a situation off the field or coming into a camp with that. And he's had lower body tightness, so he's maybe not fully healthy. But like, you know, all those excuses aside, all I've ever wanted to do, Jalen Reagor to do, was like flash, show me something, like show me something to believe in. And by contrast, Quez Watkins, who I think I'm stealing maybe some of your thunder here, Jimmy, but Quez Watkins like made some plays today, yeah. And not just today, but the past couple of days, and has done some things. And I'm like, wow, that's impressive. I see like talent. I see potential here. With Jalen Reagor right now, I'm just not seeing anything. I saw him today get absolutely like derouted, stuffed at the line of scrimmage by Steve Nelson in one-on-one, got knocked off his route, which earned him a talking to from Kevin Petullo, the Eagles passing game coordinator, after that rep. I saw Jalen Reagor be out of sync with Jalen Hurts on another one-on-one rep, which maybe that's Hurts' fault, but I don't know. It's just, I'm just not seeing, from what I've seen so far, Jimmy, I am failing to believe how this is like Jalen Hurts' big jump from year one to year two. From everything we've seen, I'm just failing to see how that scenario plays out here.
Yeah, so, you know, we had obviously the disappointing rookie season, and he heard the criticisms, and he heard the comparisons to Justin Jefferson, and he didn't like them, and he kind of vowed to do something about that and come out in year two and be great again, or be great. And he failed a conditioning test. So like, I understand, like, yeah, like, and I'm sympathetic to the tragedy that he, that, you know, happened to his close friend. But you're a wide receiver and fail a conditioning test. It's just kind of unacceptable. And certainly it's certainly not the start to training camp that the Eagles wanted to see out of Jalen Reagor. He was a limited participant the first 4 days, practiced today, whatever it was. Man, I'm losing track at this point, but he hasn't done anything yet. Like, I haven't seen him stand out in any way yet. And I have seen other receivers stand out. And, you know, you mentioned Quez Watkins, thought he made some, first of all, in one-on-ones, I really liked his route running today. And I don't remember that being sort of like a really, you know, thing that stood out about it. Like, he had a good camp last year, but I don't recall him, you know, really running really good routes. And I thought he showed that in one-on-ones today. And then I believe it was during 7-on-7s. He made this like leaping, twisting catch. Yeah. It was impressive. And he's made more plays in the two practices. Is it just two, right? Two, not three? Anyway, he was out for the first few practices as well, and he has basically picked up right where he left off and gotten better, in my opinion, from last training camp to this camp. And he's been making plays in the you know, couple days that he's been back practicing with the team. So it's encouraging that, you know, he may have. I think he might carve out an immediate role with this team from week one. Not a big role, but, you know, maybe like a role that like John Hightower had, because remember, like this, he got a lot of decent number of snaps in that week one loss to Washington, and then very quickly sort of squandered that opportunity. But I wonder if Quez will sort of carve out some kind of opportunity early on in the season, and we'll see if he can do a better job of capitalizing on that if he does.
Another quick wide receiver note, Travis Fulgham got the best of Darius Slay a little bit there in one-on-ones. He beat him down the sideline for a catch. I think throw was nice throw, actually, from Joe Flacco, who's been better, by the way. Got to give Joe Flacco, Jersey Joe, some credit here. Jimmy's in the Joes. Were you in on Flacco after practice at all? Okay. Like, I know we've covered this before, but the accent is so thick, man. Like, I can't, like, listen to him and not think about how it's so funny. I feel like I'm just, like, at a Wawa talking to, like, some random right. guy. Like, it's just really so thick.
Like, you should be an extra in, like, Mayor of Easttown.
Right. Yeah. It's just funny to me. I feel like I've never noticed that before, until the Eagles signed him. But, yeah. So, Fulgham, and then also Fulgham dropped a pass, which again, I'm not loving all these drops I'm seeing, but he did draw defensive pass interference on Slay. So I guess that was good. And that's the thing, like Quez, Fulgham, like some receivers are standing out, but like Rager just haven't seen it yet. So maybe he can turn it around. We'll see. I guess you kind of picked Quez as your next thing, but you kind of just dovetailed that into mind.
Yeah, that's okay. I have another one that I can throw out there.
Okay.
The kicker had a little bit of a bounce back day. Jake Elliott was 6 for 6 on his kicks. He was 4 for 6 the first day that he had kicks. He missed a 33-yarder, nearly missed a 38-yarder, and then he also missed a 49-yarder that first time he had kicks. Kicked today, and his makes were good from 33, 36, 39, 41, 44, and 47. I thought that only one of them was even remotely close to missing, so I thought he had a bounce-back day of sorts. I want to see him stack a bunch of good days in a row before we start, feeling a lot better about Jake Elliott. But nice bounce back day for him. 6 for 6. It's a start.
Agreed. I'm going to pivot and go to where was I going to go, Jimmy? I was going to go somewhere and then I blanked.
The defense?
I was going to go Jason Huntley. Offense, okay. Actually. Jason Huntley has to make this team. I am going to say that right now, Jimmy, because Jason Huntley is really good. Once he gets daylight, he's gone. Like, no one's catching him. You give him a crease, you give him an opening, and he's just going to outrun everyone to the end zone. Like, I've seen him do it now on multiple reps. I think the Eagles running back situation is interesting because it's a good group. Like, Miles Sanders is going to make the team. Miles Sanders, who had another drop, by the way, today, not his first at camp. Not great. As an aside. But yeah, so you have Miles Sanders. I think Boston Scott is clearly the number two on this team. I don't think anyone else is sneaking in there. Like, Boston Scott, I think, has been good for starters. And second of all, like, it's him and Sanders getting the first team work most of the time. Like, you're not seeing a lot of other guys, like, rotating in there often. So I think those are the first two. And then the three behind them, if they keep three behind them or if they keep two, we'll see on that. Obviously, I think Howard has had a nice start to camp, but we're going to be cooled down a little bit. Yeah. I'm guessing, like, I don't know what to think of the Lions running back, who I'm blanking on.
Kerryon Johnson.
Like, he's had some nice moments, but, like, I don't know if it's enough to make the team. And I just think Huntley has made these big plays. And then, obviously, we think Gainwell is going to make it. So, I don't know who's the odd man out here. What do you think?
I had him keeping five in my pre-training camp 53. So, I had him keeping Sanders, Scott, obviously. Gainwell, obviously, is going to make the team. I don't know if Gainwell, by the way, I think Gainwell was a guy that, like, a lot of people, self included, like, thought was a really good value pick. I haven't seen a ton out of him early on, and I don't know if he'll have, you know, an immediate role to start the season. We'll see how that, you know.
I don't think so.
We'll see if that's right, first of all, and how that changes as the season goes along. But then I also had Kerryon Johnson and Jason Huntley. So Huntley, by the way, I don't think he's caught the ball well in camp so far, which is a little weird because in college, he went to New Mexico State. His last three seasons there, he averaged 42 catches per season, which is good. And he talked to just a small handful of reporters after day five, and I asked him about that. I asked him. I admitted to Jason Huntley that I had not watched many New Mexico State games and apologized to him for that. No offense, Jason. I didn't watch your college. But I asked him if, like, you know, what those receptions look like. Like, was it just out of the backfield? Was it on screens and checkdowns and flares to the flat and that kind of thing? Or did New Mexico State, like, line you up in the slot and outside and sort of try to use you in a mismatch kind of way? And he kind of said that he – I don't know how much I believe the answer because he, like, you know, I think he was maybe giving the answer that like he thought was the best, which was that, you know, he lined up sort of all over the formation. So I'm interested in maybe taking a look at it, like his highlights to see like if that actually did happen or not. But he hasn't caught the ball well. And that's come as a little bit of a surprise because he did have a lot of receptions in college. But if he can show that, like, he's golden because he has, like you mentioned, like he has. Like, just the amount of times that we've got a chance to see his speed. Like, it's not that often that running backs have a chance to even sprint down the field with the ball. Mm-hmm. So just that he's gotten that, like, even if the guys are tagging him or stuff like that, just that he's gotten those opportunities or whatever is good for him. And, you know, he is very clearly one of the fastest players on the team. I'd probably have him as like one of the top three, fastest players on this team. And for that reason, and because the Eagles kept him on their roster the entire season last year, I like his chances to stick on this roster this year.
Also, when I saw the Eagles doing some special teams drills, like kickoff return, I actually wrote down the first team kickoff coverage players. If you really want to see that, I'm bleedingearnation.com.
I did that a little while back too. Was he on there?
Flex. No, but he was one of the two returners.
Yeah, back, okay.
Returning
right.
kicks. It was just him and
not Boston
Kenny Gainwell.
Scott, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just those two guys. Mm. So, you know, another thing kind of interesting to note. I guess you should touch on Jalen Hurts a little bit here, Jimmy. I thought he kind of had a really bad start to practice where they're doing that drill where they throw the ball into those hoops.
Okay.
And I don't know how much this really matters in terms of, like, you know, actually being a good quarterback or whatever. It seems like it might matter a little. Like Jalen Hurts could not make any of those throws. I don't think I saw him put one in the bucket. And also Joe Flacco really struggled with that too. Nick Mullins is good at it. Meanwhile, like he can put the ball in a hoop.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of funny because like then I saw him overthrow Zach Ertz and Akeem Butler and routes on air, and then he got picked off by Josiah Scott, who kind of continues to show up a little bit here and there.
I like Josiah.
And then just like the accuracy again, just this issues there. I feel like the discourse around Hurts is interesting because, like you're saying yesterday, like you think he had his best practice, and I think there's a lot of positivity being put out there elsewhere, and kind of like I think some people think Jalen Hurts is having a really good training camp, and I don't really agree with that. I don't think he's having a terrible training camp, but I don't think he's having like a really good camp. I don't think he's having a strong camp by any means. He did get better, I think, in 11-on-11 today, had some good throws, and I think part of it is that like he hasn't really had any big highlight throws. And
yeah,
especially today,
that's fair.
But he hasn't
a couple
really
deep
big
throws
mistakes.
Have been nice, but like he's been on the money on a few deep throws, but you're right. Like there haven't been any plays where you're like, wow, that was, like Carson Wentz for as bad as he was last year. And for as much as like we have slammed him over the last year or so, like he regularly in practice, he would have these wow plays. Like even on bad days where he was like inaccurate, like overthrowing guys, throwing like 10 yards over guys' heads, there were typically like a play or two every day where I was like, wow, that is a legitimately very good play.
I just want it on the record that I am not some anti Jalen Hurts guy, because that gets, you know, that gets perpetuated when you're not like only maybe positive about a player.
Yeah.
I was the one who said that you should not draft a quarterback unless they feel like, you know, they're just absolutely in love with him and have to have him. I wasn't just like, just get rid of Jalen Hurts at all costs. Never been my position. I think he deserves the year. I just haven't been super encouraged about him being this totally different player than he was last year, but I already kind of touched on that. So I guess we can move on. Any other final observations from practice, Jimmy?
Let me just go down my list here. I don't think so.
I have a quick one.
Yeah, let it rip.
It's Anthony Harris, who I haven't even noticed him
in there too. Yes,
I actually forgot to put this in my notes too. I tweeted this, but I forgot to put it in my notes right away, so I had to update them as I look back at my timeline. Been a really quiet camp for him. Not necessarily in a terrible way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just like haven't really noticed him do a lot. Which, you know, maybe he's just been in good position and whatever. But today he put a big hit on Travis Fulgham after Fulgham made a short catch, like a really big pop on him. So that was nice to see, you know, some physicality kind of wake up the defense and everyone. So that was good to see as well. And another quick note on Sirianni, who actually was really fired up at one point, but not in a positive way, and was really getting on the offense, who seemed to like not line up properly. He actually kind of pulled like the offensive players back a little bit and was like really animated and like fired up and kind of being, I guess what I'm presuming, to tell them to kind of like, you know, like, let's get this together. Let's get our stuff together here. Like, let's stop messing around. So that's fun to see, I guess, if you kind of like, you know, the idea that Sirianni is not going to let things slip, which I think is a fair point to make. So those are my two. What about you?
One thing I'll add on Anthony Harris is he's listed at 6'1", 202. And, you know, that's like a normal size safety. I think that's kind of like ideal size for a safety. And to me, he looks like bigger. Like he looks big to me out on the field. And maybe it's just because I'm used to seeing the Eagles employ so many shrimpy safeties over the last few years. Like, I mean, you just look, go down the list of safeties that they have, and they're, you got like a lot of guys are like 5'10", 5'11", and small. Like, it was a position that like Jim Schwartz didn't seem to give a crap if like it was a smaller player. But he's a lot bigger than a lot of these other guys that we've seen over the last few years. So I think that that'll be something that also stands out to fans when they first see this guy lined up in the Eagles defense.
I'm going to revisit that phrase a little bit later. Jimmy, let's get into our MVP, LVPs, and then play of the day for day six. I'm going to start first with MVP. It is clearly Zach McPherson. Not even a question for me. He's really good. Encouraging. We'll see if he can continue to stack days like this, as you've used that turn of phrase earlier. Who do you have?
Also, Zach McPherson.
Z McP, as Z-McP. Everyone will now call him, because it's a good nickname. Jimmy, LVP.
Just for the last time, Andre Dillard. And then
the last time. So even if he stinks again, you're not going to,
I'm not even going to bother.
You just feel bad.
but okay. I feel like this is the definitive day where there's nobody in that front office that can think, oh, this guy has a chance of being our starting left tackle. This is like, this was the day that like that has to, it'll be interesting to see if he's back with the first team tomorrow. He shouldn't be, in my opinion.
Right.
He probably will be, but
he's not earning it. Yeah. He's not earning.
But like in my view, like he has proven that he cannot be the starter for this team.
Yeah, I just want to reemphasize that. Like, he is not earning starting left tackle reps right now. The only reason the Eagles are putting him out there right now is because he was a first round pick a couple of years ago. Because they just don't want to merely hand Jordan Mailata the job. But like, I think, you know, Jordan Mailata, if he's going to be the starter, like, why not have him work with his teammates that he's going to be playing with? And like, give him as many reps as he can. I know, obviously, he's not like the exact teammates because Sumalo isn't even out there, and Brendan Brooks isn't out there right now. But still,
well, playing him next to Herbie is more valuable than playing him next to Ross Pierce-Baker.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, you got the pronunciation right. Good job, buddy, Jimmy. I have Dillard as my LVP as well. It's actually the first time in camp, but again, you really should have been on here more. And I will continue to mark him down if that is the case.
Okay.
Not personal. I'll also put him down to the MVP if he has a great practice. Sure. You know, I'm being fair here.
Of course.
Play of the day, Jimmy. What is that for you?
I'm going to go with the aforementioned leaping, twisting catch by Mr. Quez Watkins.
That is the third day in a row where you've chosen Quez Watkins in your play of the day.
He's a baller, baby.
Congrats to Quez. I am going to go with Josh Sweat flattening Andre Dillard.
That's a good choice. Yeah.
It's just like, again, you just don't see
depending on how you look at it. It could also be like the low light of the day.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it could be. but Josh Sweat's had a really good training camp. We've already kind of covered that. I do want to say Derek Barnett is having a good camp too.
I agree.
I think everyone's like, oh, Josh Sweat, and he should get a lot of hype and attention because he's been good. But like, it's not that Derek Barnett has been bad. It's like Derek Barnett has been good. He actually had a nice rep today, I thought, where he sniffed out a quarterback run and he basically had Hurts dead to rights in the flat for either like a tackle for loss or no gain. I think Derek Barnett has been good. Also, on Mailata, I wanted to say earlier, like, I saw Derek Barnett drive Jordan Mailata back at one point, he beat him. He beat Mailata. But the way he did it, it wasn't like fast, you know, like where Dillard loses like instantly. Mm-hmm. Like Mailata at least like kind of stalled him a little bit, and you kind of touched on that already. Like even when Mailata loses, like he at least like buys a quarterback a little bit of time.
Right,
he doesn't get like instantly destroyed or cooked. Just to kind of beat that horse to death. Jimmy, any final thoughts here as we wrap up?
We have the first open practice coming up soon, right? What's today?
Mm-hmm.
Today is Tuesday, and that's what, Sunday? So come on.
I think so.
The 8th, I believe. Anyway, so we hope to see some of our listeners at that open practice. I don't know if you need tickets for that or not, but if you do, get them and say hello when we're there.
Yes, please do. Also, if you like Bleeding Green Nation Radio's coverage of Eagles training camp so far, hit us with the hashtag Shrimpy Safeties to let us know you're listening and you like what's going on. Also, if you like what's going on, why not leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts?
And a question, and we'll answer it on the podcast.
A question. We have some, I think there's a couple of questions, Jimmy, that we still have to get to. So we'll get to those at some point. We'll figure it out here. We will get to them at some point. Guarantee. This has been BGN Radio episode 199. Follow me on Twitter at Brandon Gouton. Follow Jimmy Kemsky on Twitter at Jimmy Kemsky. Follow Bleeding Green Nation on Twitter at Bleeding Green and BGN Radio on Twitter at BGN _ radio for all the updates and coverage. Check out my practice notes. In addition to what we talked about here, there's even more info on bleedinggreennation.com for me and phillyvoice.com for Jimmy. Also check out the SB Nation NFL show, which is back in full force. Jimmy, 5 days a week. Just talked about Carson Wentz and the Colts and maybe Nick Foles going to Indy.
You know what we should mention real quick before we go?
Yes.
Dak Prescott had a setback on his injury.
I did
too.
See that.
So he, what was it, his shoulder, and they're holding him back for, again, this, like, these local reporters for all these teams, they'll just report anything that the team tells them for precautionary reasons or whatever. Really? So
we'll see.
There's some intrigue there, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one. I'm always of the mind, you know, when you look at, like, that and, like, the Saquon stuff, too, like, the Giants have been, like, unusually cautious with Saquon. It's kind of like, you know, there's some kind of question there. Don't just, like, take everything at face value and be like, oh, they're going to be fine. Like, I don't know. They might not be. And Dak obviously had that shoulder issue going back to late in the 2019 season when he was potentially going to miss that game against the Eagles in week 16, but he didn't. He played through it. And I don't know. Maybe that wasn't the best decision if it's still, you know, some kind of long-term injury.
Right.
But we'll be talking that injury, Jimmy, on the NFC East mixtape. So that ties in nicely to my next plug there with RJ, Ochoa, and I or me, whatever, which one of those two applies.
And me,
we'll be talking about the Cowboys, the Giants, the fight that apparently broke out at Giants training camp, the Washington football team, and the Eagles, of course, on the NFC East mixtape that'll be coming out on Wednesday, August 4th. As we are recording right now on August 3rd, RJ and I are going to be doing that podcast tonight. So check all that out, and we will be back with you here for Eagles training camp day 7 recap in the afternoon on Wednesday, in addition to getting the mixtape. So a big podcast day here in the Bleeding Green Nation podcast feed, which is obviously sponsored by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky, which you can go to get by going to righteousfelon.com using discount BGN15 for 15% off. This was a big, massive plug session at the end of the podcast. I am not very good at keeping
things
short.
There was a lot of plugs there, yeah.
And brief. Yeah. Some people end podcasts really well. And I just don't. I just ramble, and you might be already tuned out. So if you're still listening to this, we appreciate you even more. Jimmy, that's it. I'm done. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
BGN.